name it again and whistle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the four horsemen to take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Vic Anthony.
Welcome to the longest-running episodic wrestling radio show in history. Oh, sorry, I'm channeling Michael Cole again. God, I gotta stop doing that, man. 888-357-9876. Option two tonight, because the Canadian hockey guru, Mr. Tim Stein, is producing us tonight. Nick Anthony is not here this week. He will be joining us next week live from Las Vegas, Nevada, because he will be at the Cauliflower Alley Club group that we had on last week. And unfortunately, they were supposed to have given us two guests this week, but due to communication issues, Aaron Kendrick, we got somebody a little cooler tonight. We've got, in hour number two, Ring of Honor, Evolve, Dragon Gate USA, and Florida Group Pro Wrestling Fusion and Full Impact Pro, one of the top tag teams in the country, John Davis, Corey Chavis, the Dark City Fight Club, will be joining us tonight. And this is like getting ridiculous, Aaron. Every week we open the show with the numbers, and we really, really, really hope they're going to be better. But not only are they bad, but the show that debuted this past evening before the TNA Impact group was a show called TNA Reaction. Now, I know Aaron didn't get to watch it because he was doing his thing. I sucked it up for the team and did watch it. And it was interesting to watch in the aspect of they did some behind-the-scenes stuff that they filmed along with Impact, taking you behind the curtain, so to speak. But everybody stayed in character the whole time. Well, a .3 rating is what they got against everything else that was on in the United States at 8 o'clock Eastern. At 7 o'clock Eastern, sorry. At 8 o'clock, from 10 o'clock, they got a big, huge whopping on the way to the Lockdown pay-per-view, which we'll address tonight, a .8. To Raw's taped show with The Hoff, David Hasselhoff is your host, got a 3.2. The question, Aaron, is real simple. How much more of this beating is TNA going to take before they go, Dixie, you really want to go back to Thursday night?
Well, TNA's problem is just that they're wanting to be like WCW, and they think that they're a lot bigger than they actually are.
And if things didn't get any worse for TNA, the cable systems are really going to be ruling wrestling now, because come this fall, October 1st, you're going to have to get on your cable box to find Friday Night SmackDown, because it was announced today through a release from Sci-Fi. World Wrestling Entertainment and Sci-Fi have announced a multi-year agreement that will bring Friday Night SmackDown to that network. They're going to basically move their Thursday night shows, such as Warehouse 13, which is an awesome show, Eureka, Stargate Universe, or Stargate Antarctica, whatever they are. They're all going to be moved to Tuesday night. So apparently NXT is going to leave Sci-Fi in October, but they're not saying where it's going, and we'll address NXT, which is on right now. They're rerunning the beer keg episode. It totally showed on that show who the partiers are and who are not. are you excited about this move, fans? 888-357-9876, option two. WTR _Sunday_night is how you can get us on the Skype network. And does this really mean anything at all in the terms of wrestling, Aaron? Or is it just ho-hum, WWE's now going to have their show, all their shows on the NBC Universal Network?
I really don't think it's a good move from them taking a show off of the broadcast TV, because, you know, broadcast TV is something that pretty much everybody has. And, you know, sci-fi is not going to, I wouldn't think it would draw as many ratings. So I don't really understand why they're doing it.
I'm not 100% sure either. And I read another article, I think it was on IMDb.com, which is Internet Movie Database for film junkies like me. And apparently My Network TV, or My TV, whatever the heck the name of the network that they're on now is, was owned by, I believe it was owned by the Fox Network and Rupert Murdoch. And when it bombed out, Friday Night SmackDown is basically the only original programming that network has. They're kind of like Ion Television or other stations like that, where they grab syndicated programming like The Ghost Whisperer or Seinfeld or one of those. So I guess in a way, maybe this is a smart move. It's a little hard to do. I mean, we've been told, I mean, you're basically packaging the WWE into NBC Universal, who was supposed to do Saturday Night Main Event shows, but that really didn't go so well. The ratings weren't really there, so they got folded back in. I mean, it'll be interesting to see when we get to that point of TV in October. I mean, we're just in April now, and it'll be interesting to see. But while we're talking about April, Aaron, we're talking about Friday Night SmackDown. I was on my way back from an indie show here in Florida, Coastal Championship, Combat Championship Wrestling, which is run by Sin Bodie. He used to be Kazarni in WWE, and I also work for TNA. And out of nowhere, I got a text from Nick, and he's like, "Are you watching this?" I was like, "Dude, I'm driving." He's like, "Did you watch, have you DVR'd SmackDown?" I go, "No, why?" He's like, "You need to find it online." And I go, "Okay, why, what's going on?" And the next thing I know, I get all these other people that are hitting me up on Saturday morning going, "Dude, you watch SmackDown?" I go, "No, why? You got to find it. You got to see what happened." And for fans that didn't see it, and it was interesting, because apparently during the match with the current World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger and John Morrison, Swagger got cut. Now, where he got cut, I have no idea, because I watched the entire match on WWE's website, and all of a sudden, they stopped the match like you would stop a heavyweight or cruiserweight or whatever boxing match. The ref slid in, a trainer slid in with a towel, starts patting down Swagger. The ref puts on latex gloves like he's a nurse in a trauma unit. Which leads to, like, and they didn't bandage him, Aaron. They didn't do anything like that. But, I mean, is this obviously this is a part of the PG rating of WWE right now, which leads to, in 2 weeks' time, you're going to have Extreme Rules pay-per-view. So, my question, Aaron, and to the fans, if you want to get involved with this, and we're definitely going to debate this, I mean, last night they already announced three different matches for this Extreme Rules pay-per-view. One of them being an Extreme Rules match with World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger taking on Randy Orton. And then you got a Last Man Standing match for the WWE title with Cena and Batista. And a street fight apparently is booked between Triple H and Sheamus. So, Aaron, let's say you're one of the 20 writers on WWE's roster. Hey, if Freddie Prinze Jr. can do it, anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck do you sell the fans on this pay-per-view of Extreme Rules when Swagger got a paper cut, it almost looked like, and they ran in and acted like the Ebola virus was loose? Explain this to us.
Well, are you asking me if I was a writer how I could put it across without having blood?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the topic of discussion right now. And also just, I mean, in my mind, how do you sell a pay-per-view with Extreme Rules? When you think Extreme Rules, you think the old ECW, or we can't say ECW because that's gone now, but That's what you have in your mind. You have the barbed wire baseball bat on fire on a pole with a midget attached to it. Well, how do you sell this? If you're a marketer or you're in the writing staff, how the heck does this happen? How are you going to pull this off?
Well, last year, I could do what they did last year and try and sell a hog pen match.
Oh, God.
That's one way it could work.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a very, if we seem discombobulated and confused, folks, it's true. Because I've been racking my brain all day today, in between watching the Yankees win on MLB Network, trying to salvage what's left of the New York Rangers, because their season went in the toilet. And I just sat there watching this thing, and I mean, how the heck can you possibly do this? You're going to try to sell all these people, which apparently the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view did 100,000, did more numbers. I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me right now, but they actually did more numbers than they did at last year's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. If you're a marketer for this company and you're one of the writers that Stephanie McMahon Levesque has got on staff, how is this possible? I mean, as a fan, are you sitting there, Aaron, going, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch an Extreme Rules match where nobody bleeds? And even if they bleed the hard way, we're going to end up stopping the match and putting a boo-boo Band-Aid on them.
Well, it honestly can't work. I mean, you know, I was watching the TLC pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, and they had there was a ladder match with Christian and Shelton Benjamin, and I believe it was Christian. He got cut open the hard way during that match, and they stopped a ladder match to come in and, like you said, bandage him up. And that's just people didn't like that in the audience, you could tell. So they just need to man up about this.
Now, fans, if you're sitting there and you're not ridiculously knowledgeable into the business like we are, and I've been covering the business for 10 years. Yeah, if you're sitting there going, what do they mean by the hard way? Well, the hard way in the wrestling terminology dictionary basically means that they weren't intentionally, they didn't intentionally blade or whatever. I know I broke kayfabe and I'm sorry. You can flog me with the Terry Funk book or the Dusty Rhodes book, but the hard way basically means that they did not mean to bleed. And like I said, a couple weeks ago, it happened to Batista when he wrestled Kofi Kingston. He got busted open. And as soon as they hit the ring, fast, like the building was on fire. And we'll address fire later on in one of our segments where we discuss the TNA lockdown pay-per-view and all that fun. Well, we are talking NXT tonight. We're going to talk about the TNA lockdown pay-per-view. We're going to talk about Kurt Angle going into this pay-per-view, some recent passings in the wrestling business, some interesting stuff with Bill Goldberg, John Morrison, and other topics. So don't be afraid to call in and talk to us. We had a lot of fun last week with some callers. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way to get on the phone line if you want to do it. You can AIM me at ALANWOJCIK. There's a OWW Genesis has a chat room going right now. You can get to that through the onlineworldofwrestling.com site. And at this time, we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back and talk NXT. Here on OWW Radio, Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kendrick. We'll be right back.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or
foul, even a E-Fed called takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for chick fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard. Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
As the NHL regular season has come to an end, the Calgary Flames are heading home. They suck. Which now means Wednesday nights are free to be geeky. Join myself, Omega, and that guy that we'll eventually put into the intro, Mace, every Wednesday night as we bring you Geek Talk done right, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back to OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik, Aaron Kendrick here tonight. Nick Anthony will not be here tonight, but he's getting his bags packed to head off to Las Vegas, Nevada, where we will be live next week with him talking Cauliflower Alley Club. And once again, I do apologize. We're supposed to have Nick Bockwinkel and J.J. Dillon, but due to some communication issues with Cauliflower Alley Club, we weren't going to get them tonight. But that's okay. Our producers and I got it together, and it's all good. First, as we already mentioned in the previous segment, the show we're about to discuss may not even exist come October because of Friday Night SmackDown moving to the Sci-Fi Network and the Friday Night shows moving to Tuesday night, which leaves NXT right now without a home. Now, there's already been some speculation on the Genesis board and other boards where it would go. Would it move to a Wednesday night? Would they move it to Bravo, which I think's got to be weird? But then again, Bravo's got, unless they're going to make it the Real Housewives of the WWE, and then that'd be pretty cool. Or have them all on Inside the Actors Studio with James Lipton talking about their favorite curse word. But
I would pay to see that.
Yeah, first things first, be honest with me, Aaron. How many, have you watched any of this NXT show, or are you like a lot of the fans going, yeah, whatever?
Oh, well, I watch it every week. I have to, and able to be able to do this show.
And so we witnessed last week, the kegger contest, which I believe was won by Handsome Heath Slater, showing that he was a party maven, and we didn't even address David Otunga's show of stupidity on Monday Night Raw being the host. It was funny to see pictures of him where he actually had hair. It was going like, wow, dude, you actually look pretty decent with the hair. What happened? Now you got this whole New Jack City carve into my head thing going. And of course that his push got destroyed last night thanks to Marky Mark and his funky bunch in London. But since you care about this show, and I mean, I do, but I don't, and I don't know if the fans do. They can get in on this. 888-357-9876, option 2. Yeah, I speak really fast. Sorry, it's the native New Yorker in me. I can't help it. We'll address this in two ways. The WWE Universe and the pros on the show. Now, if I remember this right, Aaron, and correct me if I'm wrong, please do. The way this show is working, that they're ranking the 8 wrestlers. I don't know if we can call them. Can we call them wrestlers? WWE allow that? I know they're allowed to refer to the referees by name now, and I think kind of call it pro wrestling. But all right, we'll go with wrestlers for the moment. They're blogging this up where each of the pros has to put a vote in for who they think should be the best. But they can't vote for their pro, such as The Miz can't vote for Daniel Bryan, Jericho can't vote for Wade Barrett, etc., etc. The pros have Daniel Bryan ranked 1, Wade Barrett 2, then Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, David Otunga, Skip Sheffield, the cowboy-looking guy, Michael Tarver, and the big-haired man, Darren Young, is 8. WWE Universe, kind of a little off there. They still got Daniel Bryan as 1. They moved Justin Gabriel up to 2. David Otunga is 3. Handsome Heath Slater stays at 4. Wade Barrett and their thing drops to 5. And then still in the bottom 3 are Darren Young, Skip Sheffield, Michael Tarver. Now, obviously, we know as wrestling people that Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, is better than all seven of these people, and probably just as good as the 8 pros. Obviously, it's a work. Everybody knows it's a work. Anybody who thinks this is a reality-based show, I want you to take the dollar that you have in your pocket and go to the corner store and buy a clue, just like Michael Cole should go buy a clue because of the way he does the announcing on this show. Obviously, Aaron, Daniel Bryan's the breakout star of this thing, and the writers are trying to push David Otunga on us. But of what you've seen the last couple weeks and on the NXT show, obviously Daniel Bryan's a breakout star. Who's the second breakout star? Is it Wade Barrett? Is it Justin Gabriel? Who is it, Aaron? Who do you think?
Well, I think it is one of those two that you just mentioned. Wade Barrett, I mean, I've never heard of him or Justin Gabriel until I started watching the show. But I've been really impressed by watching them.
You know, my take, obviously, I got to see Heath Slater when he was down here in Florida as Handsome Heath Miller, and work rate, he was really good. He was actually a really good tag team. He was in a couple tag teams down here. He was with Campus Legend Brad Attitude, Brad Allen, and he was with Nick Nemeth, who's Dolph Ziggler now. And I understand why they're pushing Otunga on the fans, because he's the traditional WWE type guy. He's jacked. But the moment the guy talked, like I mentioned last week, the guy opened his mouth, and it was like when Bobby Lashley talked. You're like, seriously, where did his voice go? Did he, like, sick a helium balloon backstage, or what'd I miss? And since you've been watching it every week, Aaron, explain to the fans, is it like whoever wins this contest gets a guaranteed WWE contract, or how is this working?
I don't know. They've added too many stipulations. They had the match, you know, where they told them whoever won got to be guest host of Raw. I'm thinking, if I haven't gotten too confused, I'm thinking that the winner is supposed to get a championship match of his choosing at a pay-per-view. So
they may be leading a Daniel Bryan kicking the Miz's butt down the road, which I'm sure all of America and possibly in other countries are sitting there going, dear God, let that happen. And of these guys, and are you fans sitting there going, yeah, I'm totally excited by this. I want to see season 2 of this show. Or are you sitting there like me going, this is obviously an experiment. It's not going the way they wanted it to. Because the way they teased it to us as fans and as wrestling people was it was going to be a reality-based thing where they were going to go to Florida, go to FCW, see them training, this and that. And instead, it's turned into, you know, it's almost like a let's make a deal thing. You know, you dress up like a radish or an orangutan or something, and you do this. It's almost like Double Dare. My wife was sitting there watching me going, like, it's like the old school Double Dare TV show. And do I really want to see Brian Kendrick carrying a kegger around the ring? I mean, what's next? Are they going to have to dress up like Santina or make out with, you know, Mae Young? I mean,
well, we've seen enough of that over the years.
Yeah, I mean, what are they trying? That's the thing. I mean, is this an action comedy show with a wrestling theme like certain shows we won't discuss on this show? Or what are they trying to go for in your mind, Aaron? I mean, Put on your thinking caps, fans, and Aaron and me and Tim and Scott and Corey have been trying to do it, just like we tried to figure out the Extreme Rules thing. When they pitched this thing to us and we talked about it live on the air, Nick was like, I kind of like this, I kind of don't. I'm kind of on the middle, and the matches are very entertaining, but it's still glorified developmental wrestling matches. Your thoughts. Tell me if I'm wrong. Please tell me. It's an open forum here. Don't be afraid to rip me apart.
Well, I mean, NXT is just basically like a, like you said, an action comedy show, and
because it is action comedy, you got this guy Darren Young with big, huge hair. He almost looks like he's trying out for a remake of The Little Rascals. And then you've got Bryan Danielson. I can't call him Daniel Bryan. I'm sorry, it's Bryan Danielson. I know it's a copyrighted name. But the guy could wrestle, you know, to use a cliche that I used when I talk about Christopher Daniels, Bryan Danielson could wrestle my hockey stick and make it look like an entertaining match. Now, these other kids, there's nothing wrong with them. It's just, I don't know if I see some of these guys. Maybe you could see a tag team later on with Michael Tarver and Darren Young, or see Justin Gabriel teaming with Wade Barrett. Or maybe that's the role they're trying to do. They're trying to run these guys out. I mean, I'm not sure even who runs this show. If it's being run by Tom Pritchard and Steve Kern and Billy Kidman and Norman Smiley and other people that do developmental. It's a confusing thing, and I don't want to rip the product because it's helping get the talent TV time that they may not get down in FCW. And obviously the FCW audience in person is maybe 200. As Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler kept saying last night, they had 16,000 in England, and despite him, I'm not being a fan of his work, Otunga actually looked like he knew what he was doing. He looked like he belonged in the ring with Cena until they buried his ass, but, I mean, are you surprised by my reaction, fans? I mean, I don't know, and I think I kind of lost, is Aaron still there? I think we lost Aaron. Uh-oh. That's not a good thing, so I'm just rambling on. I'm sorry. 888-357-9876 is the number. We are going to go to our second break, and when we come back, we will get into some news regarding Bill Goldberg, regarding John Morrison, Gene Kaniski, and others here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho, Derek Bischoff,
Vince
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk. Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Biff Naked. Hang loose, hang ten, high five, go get 'em, fight the good fight. You're listening to WTR with Biff Naked.
I see your face on television.
888-357-9876. Option 2 is the way to join us here on OWW Radio. Don't forget, top of the hour, we've got them. Corey Chavis, John Davis, the Dark City Fight Club, and I believe they're, I'm not 100% sure if this is their first ever radio interview anywhere, because when you see these guys on TV, folks, on Ring of Honor, on HDNet, you look at them and you just go, man, they look like they could beat my mother senseless and make her regret having me as a kid. But you're going to find out in the next hour, there are two of the most articulate, intelligent people you're ever going to find. And speaking of unintelligent people, Aaron, we're going to go right into some news here. One of the big news stories out of this past week, last couple weeks online, was that Bill Goldberg had apparently been talking to WWE about, rumor was, oh, he's getting back in the ring. Oh, wait, yeah, it's going to be a next year's WrestleMania. Well, apparently he told ESPN that he's working on a merchandise deal as well as a possible DVD project. Now, he hasn't ruled out a return to the ring, and he said he would love for his young son to be able to see him wrestle. And as he told ESPN, quote, it's not something I am seeking to do at 43 years old. But, you know, WrestleMania is in Atlanta next year, and Hulk Hogan and I put 43,000 people in the Georgia Dome with 3 days' notice. Got a pretty big following in Atlanta. Is it out of the realm of possibility? I'd say no. If not, I'm totally content with the way I went out. To be able to get my merchandise out there not only satisfies the fans, but hopefully there's a lot of people wondering where my merchandise is. The reason I want to do this is for my son. I'm trying to be a good father. Are you buying a Best of the Bill Goldberg DVD, Aaron, or are you just like, yeah, go do your show on Spike TV with the cars and everything?
If a Bill Goldberg DVD comes out, I'm buying it. Because let me tell you something. Bill Goldberg was my first favorite wrestler. Like, I can remember watching WCW at a very early age and seeing Bill Goldberg coming out and wrestling the entire NWO and watching the infamous match with Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash and how they turned on Goldberg at the end of the match, and if a DVD comes out with him, then I'm buying it, because I've always been partial to the athletes that are able to transition over into wrestling, because it's a completely different world, and it just really takes a good athlete to pull it off, and I think Goldberg could pull it off.
You know, this unfortunately is where I'm going to differ, and I'm honest. I was of the proper age for the WWE, WCW Monday Night Wars. I was in my 20s and single at that time, so I had no problem watching wrestling. And the first words out of my mouth when I saw Bill Goldberg on TV was, "Wow, they found a clone of Stone Cold Steve Austin who can't do a damn thing," and I'm not trying to argue with Aaron's point if things are going, oh, he's trying to stir the pot. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm just trying to give my opinion, and that's what we do on the show. And you can call in and give your opinion at 888-357-9876, option 2, or WTR_Sunday_night. And they talked about him on the Rise and Fall WCW, but basically what he was. He was this fire-breathing guy who hit the ring, he snarled, he spit breath, he did this, he hit the ring, he did a move, boom, 3 minutes later, he was out. And that's what he was. He was a guy who was as green as the grass outside that got into the business because he knew Don Dallas Page and saw some of the guys at the gym and said, hey, I can do that. And then people like Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan got in his head, and next thing you know, his ego is the size of the Georgia Dome, which I will admit was probably one of the cooler things that WCW did by putting 43,000 into a building that basically was, in many people's minds, the beginning of the downfall of WCW, because you basically put a match that would have done hundreds of millions of dollars in pay-per-view revenue on free TV. And it was like, oh my God, Cool. Goldberg won the match. Where does he go from here? Because now you just gave away Hulk Hogan and him on pay-per-view. Would I buy a DVD if it was put out? I'd borrow it from someone, but I'm not giving Bill Goldberg my money. I don't think he's in the class of a Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock or The Undertaker. And obviously that showed when he came to WWF and the early part of 2000s when he debuted and did his thing with The Rock, and then by the time WrestleMania 20 rolled around, he was out the door. And I'm one of those people that likes, I've seen clips of the WWE classics, 24/7, the roundtable discussions, and they did a Heat Seekers episode. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the show. It's hosted by Jim Ross. And one of the Heat Seekers they talked about was Bill Goldberg, because Michael Hayes said, you know, the Bill Goldberg that came to WWE, really nice guy out of the ring, but once Bill Goldberg went into the wrestling mode, not a wrestling person. Speaking of, well, do you got anything else you want to add to that point, sir, before I move on? I don't want to cut you off.
Well, I just want to, like you said, that he was a Bill Goldberg for WCW. The difference, I believe, between Bill Goldberg and Stone Cold Steve Austin is that Stone Cold could cut a promo, but once he got in that ring, he couldn't do anything. And Goldberg, on the other hand, is the exact opposite, I think. Because if you go back, Goldberg, I mean, you seen any of his matches with the Giant? I mean, the guy's a bull, and he could do suplexes, and I think Goldberg, had they given him more time in matches, you know, and maybe gave him a little bit more training, maybe he wouldn't have ended, you know, Bret Hart's career. Maybe he would have had great matches. I don't know. It's just one of those things you'll never know.
The guru of awesome, or whatever he's called, John Morrison, did a recent online chat with the Arizona Republic website. I believe it might have been around the WrestleMania stuff and got lost in the shuffle. And he was in character when he did this interview. And he was like, who's champion now? Cena, ugh, boring. I think when time is coming, I'm right around in the corner right now in the main event parking lot where all the spots have been taken for a really long time. I think some of the cars in the main event parking lot are about to be ticketed and towed after WrestleMania. There should be some spots available. Now, are you honestly sitting there, fans, going, as a fan, first off, honestly, are you a fan of Morrison, Aaron, or are you sitting there going, God, go away?
Well, John Morrison's another one of those who I think can be a top star in the next, you know, maybe even the next year. You know, I see we got a caller, and we can get to him in just a second and maybe ask him about Morrison. But I mainly just believe that Morrison can be a world champion if they give him the shot.
Yeah, he's definitely, I thought that's where they kind of were going when they broke up Miz and Morrison. It's just like, okay, cool, he's on ECW, he was doing his thing. And is that something, I kind of would have liked to have seen him maybe in Money in the Bank. Or maybe win Money in the Bank. It might be better than what we're seeing right now with Jack Swagger. I believe the Spug is on the line. Is that you, Spug?
It is. And Aaron, allow me to give you an education. So sit your southern ass down for a minute and open up your ears and listen.
I'm sitting.
I hope he's sitting. If he can't do the show standing, man, forget it.
So, Stone Cold can't do anything in the ring? Stone Cold can only cut a promo? You think Bill Goldberg is a better worker than Stone Cold Steve Austin? Let me tell you, Bill Goldberg couldn't work a match.
You kind of did.
You kind of did, buddy.
You kind of did, Harry.
Bill Goldberg couldn't work a match with a pillow. All right? Stone Cold Steve Austin, I tell you what. Here's what I want you to do. Go back in WWE 24/7 and go look for some old Stone Cold Steve Austin matches. Go look back when he was part of the Hollywood Blondes in WCW. Go look at when he was in ECW. Not only can the man talk, the man is probably one of the most gifted workers I've ever seen in the ring.
All right, here's
even
the thing.
After Owen Hart dumped him on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You know, I've seen his matches with Ricky Steamboat as a part of the Hollywood Blondes. I'm talking Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin said himself that during Bret Hart's Hall of Fame induction, I think, Steve said, you know, he had about three moves in his whole arsenal, and they wanted to put him in a submission match with Bret Hart. You know, if Steve, he's one of those guys that I guess WWF tried to limit on his abilities because it's like watching a different wrestler to me. Because
Look at Undertaker. Watch Undertaker over the last 20 plus years. It's the same moveset. It's the same moveset. Bret Hart, same moveset. When you get into a routine and you're on the big stage like those guys are in the WWE, you have to have the same old routine. You have to be able to go through the same move. You know why? So you can work with any guy on any given night and not miss a beat. Because everybody knows that when you're wrestling Steve Austin, at some point he's going to throw you into the corner. He's going to do the mud hole stomp. He's going to pick you up, throw you into the ropes, do the Luthes press, punch you a couple times, pick you back up, give you the stunner, and it's going to be over. That's the entire match.
Or the five-knuckle shuffle like we see nowadays, or Kofi Kingston's leggy thing. That was a label a lot of the WWE guys got. Because unfortunately, fans, and it's not a knock on Aaron. Aaron's a little younger than I am. And I'm not sure how old the Spug is, but I mean, I grew up watching, I was of proper age during the WCW, WWE wars of the 90s.
I'm 28. Many
people, so you're along with us in my age range, that a lot of people could say that Stone Cold Steve Austin, if it wasn't for Austin and some great writing, WWE might not even be here because the company put everybody on his back. When The Rock went to go do movies and Undertaker was hurt, you had all these guys. I mean, I understand where Aaron's coming from, but I was never a fan of Bill Goldberg, and that's always what I saw. I had fans that were WCW fans that were diehard living by them, never watched WWE, and they always just going, I used to say that, I used to piss them off by going, hey, what's the Stone Cold clone up to these days? And that's what he was. The guy could, they purposely never let Goldberg talk. And on the opposite end, yeah, he was a promo guy. I mean, I was a huge fan of the Hollywood Blondes with the late Brian Pillman. And then when he was with Paulie Dangerously and the Dangerous Alliance. So, I mean, I kind of get what Aaron's saying, Spug, but I don't. Aaron, go ahead. If you want to defend this thing, Aaron, go right ahead, man.
All right, and here's the thing. If Stone Cold... I'm going to give him credit because he has great psychology with the same moves over and over. But who's to say that his stomp in the corner and his Luthes press is not any better than Goldberg's spear and his sidekick and his jackhammer? I mean, what's the difference there? Because Goldberg had pretty much the same moves plus several suplexes. I'm not getting how Stone Cold is so much better than Goldberg in that area. I'm not getting that.
Okay, because when you hit the ring and you do three power moves and then you're done, that's not psychology. That's a squash. That's having somebody put you over so that you can continue on with the storyline. When you watch a Bret Hart match, when you watch a Stone Cold Steve Austin match, when you watch a Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, The Rock, Edge, any of those, watch any of those guys' matches. Yes, they do the same moveset pretty much over and over and over again. But it's psychology because it's telling the story of a struggle in the ring. Goldberg, that's not psychology. That's a squash.
Yeah, but he's also, and it comes, I've been doing this for 10 years where I've been actually in locker rooms and sat with people like Steve Kern and other people that have been in the business. And you're only as good as the guy across the ring from you. And that's why they fed guys to him that were top guys. They fed Raven to him to get the U.S. title off him. They fed him Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan. And everybody made him look like this big, huge monster, even though the guy probably, as they used to say in the industry, didn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Okay, they fed Stone Cold Steve Austin, the owner of his company.
Oh, well, he's the head writer. Look what they're creating.
They fed, you can't sit there and talk about, well, they fed him this guy and fed him that guy. Cause it all played into the storyline. Either way, with either guy. And Corey, booking has nothing to do with a moveset in the ring. Nothing. That is on the wrestlers, and that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
When you start trying to say that Bill Goldberg was a better wrestler than Stone Cold Steve Austin, and just because he couldn't cut a promo doesn't mean anything, is a bit asinine. Is a bit. You did say that. You did.
I didn't say it didn't matter that he couldn't cut a promo. I said in that area that Stone Cold is better.
All right, I'll give you that. But here's the thing, and let me get to this before I go, because I wanted to get into it tonight. So, I came here to once again call out Nick. And I tell what, son, I'm getting real sick of you ducking me. So I tell you
he's
what.
He's not listening.
Come out from underneath. Come out from underneath your desk. Quit hiding from me. And come face me man to man. Because you know what? You can't touch this.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk with Tim about it since I'm going to be watching Lockdown, which we're going to talk about in a couple seconds here. I'm gonna come on the show possibly to do some post lockdown stuff, and maybe we can try to get Nick on there. I don't understand the conflict. I don't understand why he doesn't want to talk with you, but we appreciate you coming on and talking with us, Bug.
No problem, man. And the conflict is he'll make real braggadocious statements and then he runs and hides. That's what it is. We called him out on WTR and said, come on and defend yourself, and he couldn't do it. So I'm here in his face. But anyway, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later. And Aaron, good on you for sticking up for yourself.
Yeah, and feel free to call back in when we have Dark City Fight Club on. We just want to address, since we talk Legends here, we do Cauliflower Alley Clubs coming up. Apparently, we may be talking soon about former World Heavyweight Champion Gene Kaniski not being with us anymore. He's apparently been battling cancer and has taken a turn for worse, and we here at OWW Radio wish him nothing but the best. Apparently his cancer has spread to his brain and he's no longer eating, and we really feel for him. We also want to send our best wishes out to former AWA World Heavyweight Champion Candy Devine. Her life partner of 17 years, journeyman wrestler Tom Burton, passed away in March at the age of 46. Apparently the autopsy showed that he suffered from COPD, which you see advertised on TV all the time, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. He worked mostly in Tennessee and in Texas during the late 80s. He was a partner of Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy. Was a regular in Japan, WCW, and WWE, so we spread that out. Also, a lot of fans might have seen this in national news, that it was a mega, mega car accident last month in Mumfordville, I'm sorry. It was described as one of the worst traffic accidents in the history of Kentucky. Well, one of the 11 lives that was claimed was former wrestler Ken Layton, who worked in Alabama as Kenny Valentine, passed away, and wish him the best. And I almost feel like I'm doing a Darwin Award thing here. We want to send out a special hello to two prisoners of the Tennessee and South Carolina Correctional Facility, Chris Whitehead and Danielle Whitehead, who worked as Thorn and Candy, were arrested because they ran a meth lab out of their home. I mean, I'm sure the indies are hard for money, folks, but you got three children living in your house, 9, 4, and 1, and you're running a meth lab. Apparently, Miss Whitehead was pulled over by the cops for speeding in her Ford SUV, and a search of the vehicle revealed, well, the ever-popular keys to making methamphetamine, Sudafed, and batteries. Well, the narcs then searched the house and went to the bathroom, and oh my goodness, look what we got here. The couple was charged with manufacturing methamphetamine, exposing the children to it, and marijuana. Let's move on to TNA. We're gonna discuss real quick, because some people say we have to be on drugs to watch TNA. And we're going to follow this up, and then at 9:58-ish, if you're clocking us, fans, we're going to go to break and come back with Dark City Fight Club. This Sunday, as I mentioned, Spug's program and Tim Stein's program is on this Sunday after the pay-per-view. They do a pretty great show. I was on there a while back, and Wrestle Talk Radio will be on after the pay-per-view. And they'll be talking about, I mean, we're not going to break down all the matches, but of all these matches that are listed here, is there one in your mind? And you can go to TNAWrestling.com, because they're not going to run every single one. Is there one of them sitting there, Aaron, that you're going, dude, this is the match that's making me buy this pay-per-view? Or are you thinking this is going to be the worst lockdown in wrestling in the history of TNA?
Well, the lethal lockdown match is the one that I'm going to be paying attention to because, I mean, we're getting to see, for one, we're getting to see Rob Van Dam back in a high quality match again. And, you know, him and Jeff Hardy's going to do something stupid. We know that.
We saw that last night.
Yeah. We learned that he got his face burnt pretty bad last night. So it's going to be pretty big. So that's the one I'm going to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and definitely go to TNAWrestling.com to see Tennessee Cowboy James Storm make marshmallow fire on Jeff Hardy's face because they edited it out, and I knew they were going to do that to get you to watch their show. Quite possibly the dumbest booked match in this is all the knockout championships are on the line. The Beautiful People tag belts are up against Tara and Angelina Love, and if one of the Beautiful People win, not only do they keep the tag belts, they're going to be a world champion. And this didn't work when they did it with Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle a couple years ago, so why bother doing it now? As everybody knows, the Kurt Angle-Ken Anderson feud, Mr. Anderson, is still going on. Well, apparently Kurt Angle's going to be taking some time off following this cage match. He apparently wrote on his Twitter, quote, "I will be taking some time off for a month to heal up, pursue movies, and promote Angle Foods at foodiefoodsfood.club.com," which I went and checked out their website, and damn, Kurt Angle is like in an apron and selling stuff. He looks like George Foreman. He's saying in big bold letters, "I am not injured. At lockdown, I plan on kicking Anderson's, ass, and then I'm going to relax for a few weeks. Be back soon." We're not done with the Facebooking and Twittering, because apparently if you're watching Monday Night Show and they're going like, yeah, dude, what's going on with the ladies? Well, ODB may be getting into some office trouble here, because she probably expressed some frustration with the current creative direction. She wrote regarding Impact, "Just watched from my DVR the Knockouts match. Wow, WTF is happening to our division." Other people have echoed these sentiments. They're feeling that the Knockout division has become quite sad, in that most of the girls are finding it hard to stick together. Are you kind of feeling the walls moving in if you're a Knockout wrestler, Aaron? Or are you going, hello, Johnny Laurinaitis, I'd like to come work for you?
Well, actually, I think it's all going to turn around, because I think adding the tag team title belt into the mix is really going to help them out a little bit, you know, give them that extra push. And I think if they give it time, it'll all turn around. That's what I think.
I really hope so, because it's just, I'm sitting there, like, I saw, sorry, I can't call her awesome, Amazing Kong this past Friday at a show, and unfortunately Kong is declining interviews, and we'll respect her feeling on that. I wouldn't want to come talking about Todd Clem on a radio show either, because the guy has no business being on there, and I hope his radio show people listen to ours, because I'd love to have that fat bastard on this show so I can stick him where his sun don't shine. Yes, I know I need to sugarcoat my comments and not hold back anymore. I mean, it's getting to the point where how much longer can we watch TNA, Aaron, and not go, my 7-year-old cousin can write better than this? Is this a situation where Russo needs to stop watching Jerry Springer and all these other shows and just get back to, oh yeah, wrestling?
Yeah, that's exactly what he needs to do. And, you know, the first place he needs to start is by getting Bubba off that show, because he's friends with Hulk Hogan. That's the only reason why he's in the company. If they could take him away from the Wolfpack, then they could do wonders, I believe, for the company. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, they can do wonders for the company.
Oh, of course. And then that'll be addressed in other episodes of the show, where as we get closer to, I believe it's in mid-May, that Dixie Carter is going to be doing a live U-shoot or some sort of segment. And that's come up in certain areas of, you know, how much more can you push the older talent, you know, let some of the older talent, you know, get over on some of these older guys. Because, I mean, what the heck was Bubba doing these past couple weeks? And he got involved in the match with Team 3D. And if it's a point where, you know, Bubba's going to actually get his butt in a ring and wrestle, then, yeah, I'm all fine with it. But I've seen the guy work on some WWE house shows that were here in Florida, And I hate to break it to you, my cat Sylvester can work a better match than Todd Clem. And yes, that's his real name. I'm not calling him Bubba the Love Sponge. Or whatever the heck his copyrighted trademark name now is. He has no business being there. It's like when Vince Russo was on TV. He's thinking that, oh yeah, the people hate my guts. They're going to watch the people watch kick my butt. No, I'm going to look at the remote going, dude, what's on the Food Network? I'm totally ready for that. I really hope that this conversation doesn't lead to ODB getting let go of the company. I would love to see ODB stick around, but she's kind of fallen into the mix. It's horrible. We're going to go into the end of this hour, folks, and when we come back, we are going to be live with the Dark City Fight Club. 888-357-9876. Option 2 is the way to join us. We're also going to get into an interesting discussion that was presented to us by Nick about wrestlers' private lives being in a public situation. We'll get into it because Aaron and I have talked about this off the air, and it really rubbed me the wrong way, and we'll address it. I want to tease it a bit, but I don't want to give it all away. Don't be afraid to call in and talk to these guys, fans. 888-357-9876, option 2, WTR_Sunday_night. Dark City Fight Club is coming up, and I'm excited. I know Aaron is confused because he's like, yeah, they're on Ring of Honor, but they never talk. How are they going to sound? Are they going to be in our face? And I'm like, I talked to them at a Pro Wrestling Fusion event, and they were like, you really sure you want us on the show? I said, dude, trust me, you're coming on. You're going to rock the house. You're going to do great. Don't forget that TNA pay-per-view is this Sunday, TNAWrestling.com. You can also go there to watch a Before the Bell show, which was actually more entertaining than their reaction show, because they showed, oh yeah, history. They showed Elix Skipper doing his move off the top of the cage against America's Most Wanted. They showed some of the most wild stuff that you'll never see in this match because you're now to a four-sided ring. And that's the thing that's still irking me. I miss that six-sided ring. And we'll get into that probably in the 10:30 part of this show. As I said, coming up, Dark City Fight Club. We'll see you on the other side of the break. OWW Radio.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 the purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, WTR gave to me 12 sinful stories.
11 swipes at mouth.
10 shots of whiskey.
9 live shows.
8 Lisa jokes.
7 reminders to call in.
6 days of programming.
5 I starting shows.
4 shows this my guy.
3 wrestling talk shows.
2 Australian.
And a pay-per-view post-show for free!
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you.
and wrestle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the Four Horsemen. Take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I have ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Who do I gotta talk to about getting my name in that promo, man? Because when he's not here, everybody's going like, oh, Nick Anthony, yeah. Oh, man, wait, that's not Nick Anthony.
Yeah,
I'm Alan Wojcik.
Join the club.
I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. 888-357-9876. Option 2 is the way to join us here on OWW Radio. WTR_Sunday_night is also a way to join us right now because we have got one of the top tag teams in indie wrestling today and probably could kick the asses of some of the WWE and TNA guys. If you're a fan of ROH on HDNet or bought their DVDs, if you bought Evolve's DVD recently, you've bought some Dragon Gate USA DVDs, Full Impact Pro, you've been to a Pro Wrestling Fusion show, you know who I'm talking about. The most articulate heels in wrestling, the Dark City Fight Club, John Davis and Corey Chavis are joining us here tonight. Welcome, gentlemen.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, see, now this is an inside joke because I ribbed them a couple weeks ago at Pro Wrestling Fusion and Wrestling for a Cause here in Tampa that had 850 people come out to support the a Firefighters Benevolent Fund. And I jokingly said it to them, you guys want to do a radio show? I'm part radio show now. And they're like, of course, like, yeah, but ROH doesn't let us talk. And I'm like, okay, well, do I got to pass it through ROH? And he's like, No, we do our own stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, the fans are never going to look at us the same way again. I said, okay, I can't help that. I mean, first off, for fans that aren't aware of it, both of you were established singles wrestlers. Corey worked as Rain Man on the indie scene, and John Davis was the next level John Davis. Either one of you, go ahead and explain how Dark City Fight Club even came to be.
Well, it was basically Sal Hamill-Y's idea. I showed up to a Pro Wrestling Riot show. John Davis was there. He said that he wanted to throw us together as a tag team. Asked us if we had matching gear. We did. We came up with a name, and the rest is basically history.
He brought us to FIP
and all that good stuff.
Now, you guys came up with the name, or did Sal and Gabe come up? Gabe Sapolsky come up with the name?
We did.
Oh, we came up with us.
Now, who came up with the masks? And speaking of which, did you find your masks? Because a couple weeks ago, you guys lost them things, and we nearly killed people in that building trying to find them. Who came up with the whole look of the team? Was that also the two of you in conversation, or did Sal and Aaron kind of push that on you?
Well, when we first started, our very first appearance, we came in through the crowd in ski masks and hoodies. And we were kind of like, okay, who are these two guys that are attacking this team? And so I happened to start thinking about it and be walking through a shop one day and found executioner masks. So that's kind of how the whole thing started. I was like, okay, well, let's kind of keep the identity hidden until our first entrance. And then we realized it was a pretty cool look, so we just kind of kept it.
How did you guys come about?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're the guest. Yeah. We hate interrupting you guys. Go ahead, man.
I was just going to say it was real scary how, like, me and John, like, we kind of knew each other a little bit, but it was real scary on how much we were, like, on the same level, you know, because we both basically like the same stuff, so... When the whole mask and every, you know, idea came about, it was like both of us had already liked stuff like that, so it kind of worked out.
How did you guys
this is the Dark City Fight Club, and that's Aaron Kendrick, who's got a pretty interesting question.
Yeah, I was just wondering how you guys came about getting into Ring of Honor.
Last minute kind of deal, actually. I mean, we were lucky enough to hit the ground running with FIP, and I guess we kind of built up a little bit of steam. And there were people who were kind of surprised that we hadn't been looked at for the Florida shows that they did last year for Proving Ground. And we were kind of surprised ourselves. And so, we were just kind of waiting for our chance to beat up Ring of Honor guys. And then we got a call the week beforehand.
Now, how did the ROH crowd react to you guys? I mean, how was it done? Was it done where you were just brought in and kick the crap out of some teams, or did they tease you guys on the website? How did it come to be?
For Proving Ground, we were pretty much thrown straight into the fire. It was Steve and Generica the first night.
Oh, God.
There was no hype behind us coming in. Like, I don't even know if we were announced to come in. I think we were announced, like, maybe a couple of days beforehand that we were going to wrestle Steve and Generica, but the Ring of Honor crowd in Florida took to us so well, man, and the Please Come Back chant, I think that helped out a lot. And from that point on, that's when they were getting ready to start TV. And, you know, Adam Pearce came to us with the ideas, and we just, like John said, we just hit the ground running from that point on.
In case you're just joining us, this is OWW Radio. This is the Dark City Fight Club. They're all over the place, fans. They've got their Facebook stuff. They've got a MySpace page, which we'll tease later on. They're worldwide. They're kicking ass, taking names, beating people all up everywhere they go. And if you never watched them on DVD or TV, you need to watch these guys on TV. Now, I know Aaron and I were talking about this earlier, and I know Aaron had another question that he said, I don't know if I want to ask this. I said, dude, ask it. So go ahead and ask it, Aaron.
All right, I was just wondering, you know, what are the differences really in the wrestling styles of Florida and the Northeast?
Corey, you want to get in or we go first?
Basically, like Florida to me is more of an old school feel to it. You know, it's all about how you make the crowd feel, like how you get the crowd involved in your matches. As far as, you know, the character and, you know, whatever storylines that you're attached to. Up north is basically more like athletics. Like, you gotta be pretty agile, you gotta be, pretty well-rounded in the ring up north. They kinda base their likings of it, more or less towards the athletics, basically.
All right, is there a preference? Do you guys prefer to be? I'm not trying to start a verbal war with the Florida versus Northeast fans, but do you think that the fans of the Northeast and up in the Midwest area, do they react differently? Like, oh crap, these guys? Because I mean, the Mid South area is totally, you know, ridiculous kayfabe. Heels and babies don't even have a locker room together. I mean, How is the Northeast crowd? Do they go running in fear like they would have back in the day of a Bruiser Brody type guy, or are they just going like, yeah, whatever?
I have a story. We were leaving TV one night, and I don't know if Corey got in the car if he was still in the building, but I was walking out, and it's getting to where fans will congregate behind the building when we're leaving for TV, and they'll ask for, you know, autographs of guys coming out, and I have a phone in my hand, and I walk out, and I kind of stand there for a second. I come down the stairs, and there's a crowd of people right in front of the stairs. And Kenny King was out there talking to a couple fans, and he was signing autographs. And the fans kind of turn to me and see me and just spread. Nobody says a word. I don't get eye contact or anything, and I go through. We've been with the company for quite a while now, a little over a year, and we're just getting to the point where fans are talking to us as we or wherever we're going. So I think for certain people, they'll completely believe it. And I think it kind of helps that me and Corey wrestle and look like somewhat of, I guess you could say, psychopaths. So it's one of those.
But like I said,
you can't distinguish.
But like I said, you two, you see these two guys, and Aaron has tried to find your profiles and stuff online, and you see these guys, and yeah, they look like they could beat the living daylights out of you, and then they talk, and they're like, wow, I'll never be able to watch them this way again. Oh my God, it went through. All right, I hate to do this to you guys, but we've got a caller on the line who wanted to address you two. He happens to be one of the guys that took the Pro Wrestling Fusion tag team titles off of you in Tampa. He's a former three-time NWA World Tag Team Champion, Vivacious Vito DiNucci. Welcome to OWW Radio. You said you wanted to talk to these guys about your match this week in Sanford. You got an open forum, my friend.
Well, brother, I actually had a real good open forum with them a couple weeks ago in Tampa. Actually, I vaguely remember the conversation. You guys, it was something along the lines of "Give me my damn belt," which you did, right? Isn't that how it went?
Isn't it your bedtime? Don't old people go to bed at like 7?
No, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it, fellas. See, because it's when you're like me, you age gracefully, and you don't have to go to bed early. Life is good. What are you guys doing up this late? You should be getting your rest. You got to try and get your belts back, don't you?
See, here's the deal, Vito. You and I both know
what you got,
and John knows that when we get to Sanford this weekend, it's gonna be a totally different story, bro.
Why?
Different story. Look, I won't deny the fact that you and Chris, veterans of the sport, great athletes, but you don't have the momentum and you don't have the strength that we got. You guys got lucky. We'll give you that one. Come this weekend, fellas.
Well, let me break in for a second. In case fans are confused what's going on here, go to ProWrestlingFusion.com because you can see the results of this, because the Dark City Fight Club were, when I addressed them for this match, I was bringing them on to talk about being Pro Wrestling Fusion Tag Team Champions. And then Chris Nelson and Vito DiNucci with some questionable tactics, well, yeah, they cheated, won the belts.
Look, hold on. The only thing that was questionable on our end in that match, the fact that my partner came into the ring without his top piece on, which offended everyone, including myself. But other than that, nothing was questionable. Everything else was above board. Come on. Back me up here.
I don't think John and Corey would agree with you, dude. They're the ones that woke up and said, where the hell are our belts?
Bro, you know what? They're a little bit upset. That Corey fell victim to a Greco-Roman eye gouge and a Greco-Roman foot to the ropes while the pin was taking place. Chris tripped. That's all. He tripped.
There's nothing Greco-Roman hit with a
credit with credit, dude.
Let me ask you guys something. You guys been at this, you haven't been around as long as myself or my partner, obviously. But you guys have been around the block. You guys know I know you guys are both smart guys. You guys are building a great name for yourself out there right now. You're on TV with Ring of Honor. You're doing a fantastic job, and I'm the first one to applaud you guys. I'm very proud of any Florida guys, and you guys would be chief amongst them, that are out there making a name for yourself, doing a great job. You guys are a fantastic tag team. But you know one thing that Nelson and I love doing, and we've loved it for years? The reality of it is we've probably been more busy in the last, I don't know, 4 to 6 months than we have in 5 years. We've both gone and done our own thing and been a little sporadic with our time in the ring. But if you notice, we come back at least 2 to 3 times a year in the time that we were down. And when we worked a match, it was always against teams that mattered. And there was a reason. It was because nobody could ever say we completely fell out. We'd come back, we'd work top tag teams, we'd always give a good account of ourselves. And in matches like that, it didn't matter if we won or lost. It didn't matter. We just were staying sharp, showing, yeah, you know what, we're a little older, we've been around the block, but we still matter when we want to. Well, you know what? We really want to now. And as great as you guys are, you're fantastic. You're bigger than us. You're stronger than us. You're younger than us. More athletic than us.
absolutely can do more than us. But you haven't been to half the places we've been. You haven't had to do what we've been the underdog our entire career. Fighting big guys like you is nothing new. So you know what? As good as you are, we always got something. We always got something. And just when you think we're down, look at the old men of the Florida Tag Champs. And I'll tell you what, we're gunning for the same thing you boys are. And that's the world titles. We've held them 3 times. We want to make it one more time before we call it a day.
In case you're just joining us, fans, well, welcome to OWW Radio, where it gets real interesting. And you're going, who the heck is that guy? That's Vivacious Vito DiNucci. He's currently Pro Wrestling Fusion Tag Team Champion. His opponents this Friday night in Sanford are on. And I'm going to let Corey and John and Corey Chavis, John Davis, in separate modes, retort here to what Vivacious Vito's been saying.
Okay, well, I'm going to go first. Beautiful speech, by the way, Vito, and I'll give credit where credit's due. You guys got us a couple weeks ago, and, you know, you say you have a lot of tricks and a lot of tactics, and you're not the first person to hit me or Corey with a weapon. You're not the first person to use other tactics to win a match. You're not the first veteran to ever to teach us a thing or two. But see, the thing is for our size and our anger and our strength is that we learn. So you come in and you think, okay, we got one over on them. Well, you're going to get one. Even the sun shines on a dog's ass on days, and you guys have been walking in the shade for a long time, so you're due. But come this Friday, mark my words, Dark Team Fight Club will leave the NWA Florida Tag Team Champions once more.
I'm going to let Vito go. You want Corey to come on? When Corey comes on, he may kick you hang. Oh, go ahead, Corey. If you want to bury him, go right ahead.
Let me just say this. You know, I appreciate you applauding, you know, all of our accolades and everything we're doing right now. But what I don't want you to do is break your old ass hand applauding for us, because you're going to need them this weekend when you hand over the Fight Club for the second time, homeboy.
Homeboy. Well, man, I appreciate that, brah. That's wicked good there, brah. Thank you. I thought I was a house boy. I appreciate that, brah. Fellas, I love the confidence. I love the confidence. I really do. You guys, you're fantastic. Now,
Ovaltine for your brittle bone.
Ovaltine's for kids, son. That's more what you drink. More what you drink. You know, the beauty of it is this. As old as I am, the girls that you think are there checking you out, at the end of the night, they leave with us. That's the beauty of it. We may be old, we may not be what we once were, but we still get the job done, and we know how to make it last. And we've been doing it a long time, nothing's changed. Who's got the belts right now, guys? All the talk, all the size, I'm big, I'm bad, I'm this, I'm, yeah, you guys are all that. Who's got the gold? The old guys. Okay. The old guys have the gold.
That's good, Vito, but you should probably check your vision because the belts are silver. Secondly, we'll do this interview the same time next week, and we'll see who's talking.
Okay, that's fine. We can do that. We can do that. It's not going to be that way, but I can tell you this. I've lost championships many times because we've held many, but we always get them back.
That won't be a problem when you lose these.
No? Dude, you know, make no mistake. Make no mistake. See, here's how this is going to go down. We'll take care of business here, but this to me, and this is, now let me clarify something. I'm not calling you two a stepping stone. I think you guys absolutely are one of the best tag teams out in the game today. There's no doubt. I'm a fan of what you do, but you guys are in the way. You guys are part of the obstacle to get to what we want one more time. We're held. This is the first time, believe it or not, in the 853 years that Chris Nelson and I have been active wrestling. This is the first time we've held the NWA Florida Tag Team titles, believe it or not, which I didn't really realize up until recently, which, cool. That's something we hadn't done before. But
I don't believe it either.
I didn't believe it. But we got these belts, and that's great. And we're going to hold on to them. But you guys and these belts are part of the ladder to what we want. We want our world tag titles back one more time. You guys want the same things. I know what you're looking for. You're looking for the world belts, and that's cool. You should have a goal. But here's reality. We know what it takes to get there. We know what it takes to hold them, keep them, drop them, get them back. We've been there. We've done that. We're going to do it one more time. You guys may one day be world champs. I believe you have that talent. I really do. But I also believe that if that is what is on mine and Chris's mind, we will get it before you get to it. And part of that is making sure that you don't take back the Florida titles before we get the opportunity to trade up and get the world titles. You'll get them. It's just going to be after we hang it up.
All right, on that note, Vivacious Vito, I'm going to let you go. ProWrestlingFusion.com is the way to find out about this entire show. I'm sorry that I ambushed Dark City Fight Club like this, but thanks for taking our call, and we'll talk to you again soon, Vivacious Vito.
See you Friday, ladies.
In case you're wondering, fans, who the heck that was, yeah, he is a three-time former NWA World Tag Team Champion, and I really didn't ambush the Dark City Fight Club. Maybe I did, and I'm sorry I did it, but I wanted them to know what they were going up against this coming Friday. These guys are sneaky, conniving, were trained by Jimmy Del Rey, so they know every dirty trick in the book. I have honest faith in Dark City Fight Club that they're going to win these belts back. And did you guys possibly take them lightly last at the Pro Wrestling Fusion Stand and Deliver, or what's the story, guys?
Here's the thing. You know, you get two guys that have been wrestling since it was black and white television, and, you know, it took them, it was like a 15-foot ramp, would you say? And it took them like 20 minutes to get to the ring. And we were lulled to sleep. I mean, we're used to faster paced matches. We're used to athletes, you know. And I mean, it was. I'm not gonna discount them because they're a really good tag team. However, like I said, it's that trick's only gonna work one time. So what's gonna happen this Friday is we're gonna dictate the pace of the match. We're not going to let them dictate. That was our problem, is that we let them do what they wanted to do. So what's going to happen on Friday is they're going to come to our world. And it's not a comfortable place to be unless your name is Corey Chavis or John Davis.
In case they're joining us right now, fans, this is the Dark City Fight Club, Corey Chavis and John Davis. And we do have a caller for you. This is Spug. He was on earlier. He's a part of another show that's a part of the our family here at WW Radio. You are on the air with the Dark City Fight Club.
What's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just have a quick question, and I'll hang up and listen to your answer. But you're part of a company that, in its short tenure, has a very hit storied past in ROH. I was just wondering, as workers for that company, what you look at the guys that have been there, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, and all that, what is it that you think that you can add to the legacy of that already storied company?
Well, we think that's a really good question. See, I think that we're a different kind of tag team. Usually you got tag teams who are good big men, or you got tag teams who are good you know, technical wrestlers, or you got tag teams who are good high flyers. Me and John can do it all. You see, that's the thing that separates us from the other tag teams in Ring of Honor, any other tag teams anywhere, is that we can do it all. You can put us in there with a small tag team, guys who like to flip-flop and fly around the ring, we can do the same thing. You can put us in there with somebody like the Briscoes, guys who like to beat the crap out of each other, we can do the same thing. It doesn't matter. We can wrestle, we can fight, we can fly. And that will be our legacy in ROH.
You got anything else for them, Spug? I think we lost them already. Yep, he did hang up. This is Dark City Fight Club here on OWW Radio. Corey Chavis, John Davis. They are a part of a show, ProWrestlingFusion.com, this coming weekend. What is your current status these days with Dragon Gate USA and Evolve? You weren't at the WrestleMania weekend shows, and we're not going to go into why you weren't there, because that's off off-the-collar business. Are you guys a part of the next couple Evolve and Dragon Gates events, or are you not involved with that right now?
I don't believe that we were ever in the plans for Dragon Gates. Evolve is one of those things. It's still a really new company, and there's a lot of guys who are waiting for shots. And there's a lot of talent in that company, as it's already been shown in the first two shows. And these are guys that are, you know, they're ready. They're either making a name or have already made a name, and they're trying to help, you know, build the company. So right now, I feel like it's, you know, they're wanting to try out a couple different talents, a couple different teams, you know, and they just want to see how it's going to go. So we're on a standby basis. We still are on a working relationship with them. So, I mean, you may see us there pretty soon.
Now, do you guys have an official MySpace or Facebook page that you want the fans to know about?
Yeah, we got a MySpace page. It's MySpace.com/DarkCityFightClub. I have my Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/KChance. You know, you get in touch with one of us, you get in touch with both of us.
And you'll get to read about Corey's adventures of being snowed in and rained in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh.
Good times.
All right, on that note, we're gonna go ahead and let you guys go. Definitely check them out online. You know their websites, ROHWrestling.com, ProWrestlingFusion.com. Full Impact Pro is their home, one of their also home promotions. Want to thank you very much for coming in here, guys, and hopefully the next time we talk, you may have some gold around your waist.
All right, sure, man. Thanks for having
me. All right, at that point, we're going to go ahead and take our next break here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho, Derek Bischoff,
Nick Foley. Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution continues. Sunday nights when Wrestle Talk Radio hits the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Covering the latest in pro wrestling from all the news you need to know, comprehensive pay-per-view coverage, and some great debate.
And this week we've got Mr. Perfect scoring off against Rick Rude.
Plus, you will never know who will drop in for a conversation.
This is Extreme Championship Wrestling's referee, Jim Molina.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar, Al Snow.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
Interact live with the show anytime at 1-888-357-9876 and give us your take on the world of pro wrestling. Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Let me be. Don't come hanging around.
888-357-9876, option 2. And that'll get you here on OWW Radio at Aaron Pendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. And once again, thanks to the Dark City Fight Club for coming on here. And Vivacious Vita DiNucci of the Heavenly Bodies. We're going to go into a topic right now that kind of ticked me off the other night when we were doing the pre-production stuff, and Nick kind of brought it up. For many fans that read the internet sites, including OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, it got interesting in the private lives of some of the public the talent recently, such as Crystal Marshall, who has had a relationship with Bobby Lashley. She came out and admitted, Bobby and I are no longer together. We're going to have a relationship because of our children. And they obviously kind of public-private issues with Jeff Jarrett and Karen Angle and Kurt Angle came around recently. Now that according to certain sites and Facebook pages that Karen's engaged to Jeff and then Kurt's engaged to someone else and Nick was like, well, I think you guys should talk about this. I think it's great radio. And I'm sitting there going, dude, no, I don't buy it. Aaron seemed kind of like in the middle. Corey and Scott were like, I don't know. I decided to spin this in a different direction. And hopefully some people will call in at 888-357-9876, option 2. Or you can do the WTR underscore Sunday underscore night on the Skype gimmick. Do you really give a crap about this stuff, fans? Do you care about the private lives of these wrestlers? Does it matter to you who Jay Lethal is dating? Or who SoCal Val is dating? Or if this person's marriage is on the ropes? Or this guy's kid got a home run in Little League this weekend? Does it really matter? My opinion is, unless Vince Russo, who I'm sure is sitting somewhere in a corner going, pretty please, can I do it, please? Wants to turn this into a storyline. Wants to bring the private life of Jeff Jarrett. I mean, they kind of did when he was sent home by Dixie Carter. But, I mean, does it honestly matter, Aaron? Are you sitting there going, yeah, I want to know every single thing about these guys. Or does it break the image of, I mean, does it break the image and break the kayfabe-ness of the situation?
Well, I think there's a certain line that you have to draw in their personal lives because there's certain things that don't need to be out in the open. You know, like a couple of months ago, we had Gregory Helms and Chris Jericho's faces all over TMZ. That stuff just don't need to be aired out because sooner or later it's going to come around in the storylines. You know, because they started making fun of Gregory Helms, but they just ignored Chris Jericho. You know, and or them getting arrested, you know, anybody getting arrested, I don't think it needs to be aired. That's their own personal business.
Okay, well, in that aspect, do you really care about Jeff Jarrett's personal life? I mean, does it matter to the average wrestling fan that, yeah, he... Because Nick was like, well, I think it'd be interesting, and I'm not burying Nick. I know Nick's not here to talk about this, but this is the thing that came up in pre-production, was I said to Nick, and Nick's like, I think it would be interesting to find out when, you know, did Jeff start courting Karen? Was it when they were still married, when it wasn't? And I told him, I said, oh, if you're on the show, it's your show that night, dude, you can go in that direction. But we're not TMZ, as you mentioned. We're not Access Hollywood. We're not Entertainment Tonight. I could care less about something like that. That's why I don't watch any of these shows. I don't flip open the magazines to see about, like, unfortunately, you know, you look at Sandra Bullock. Oh, one of my friends said it best. You know, you ask the average person on the street right now, hey, what do you know about Sandra Bullock? They're not going to go, she just won an Academy Award for The Blind Side, awesome movie. They're going to go, yeah, her husband cheated on her, man. With like 20 different women. And unless it's a part of a storyline like they did back in the day with Jake Roberts and Cheryl Roberts and Ravishing Rick Rude, or they tried to do with, you know, with the Deborah, Jeff Jarrett, and Owen Hart angle back in the day, it's interesting. 888-357-9976, option 2. We do have a caller on the line. Welcome to OWW Radio. Your name and your location, please.
Hey, this is Daniel, a.k.a. Old School Warrior. I'm calling from California.
Hey, how are you? What can we do for you tonight, sir?
Hey, I'm doing all right. No, I'm just hearing you guys talking about the outside news when it comes to the marriages or dating or whatnot. And plain and simple, we get too much BS drama when it comes to storylines. We don't need to have all that outside influence coming into the wrestling. They overblow storylines so much as it is that they don't. I don't care. I absolutely do not care about who's marrying who, who's divorcing who. I mean, they brought it in with the Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle thing for a while there, but it was just, let them be, for Christ's sake. It's that's my deal with it.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting situation. Go ahead, Aaron.
I was just going to say, I completely agree with him.
No, I mean, I'm kind of along the lines of, and one of my friends did bring this up the other day, who's in the industry and has ties to TNA from a while back. I guess maybe the bigger question that we could also ask is, like we mentioned, the Kurt's taking time off due to his food endeavors and possibly a movie and whatnot. What is the actual, I mean, I'm not backstage at TNA, none of us are, but I mean, it's gotta be an awkward situation to have your Kurt Angle and the guy who's sleeping with your ex-wife is the quote unquote owner of the company and has influence over the storylines. You're looking over your shoulder going, oh dear God, or are you going, you know what, I'm just gonna suck it up, put on my man card and be the man in the situation and not acknowledge it? And that's for either one of you guys to address.
I'd look at it. I mean, you know, it's got to be an awkward situation, but you also have to realize you got to check your ego at the door, and you also got to make sure that, hey, this is work and that's private. That's what's on the outside. You don't bring what's home to work, and you don't bring what's at work home.
Aaron, what are you thinking? Well,
I mean, that's a pretty unique way to look at it. And it's wrestling, and wrestling is entertainment, and entertainment is going to get news. So you got to think that getting into the business, I mean, your business is going to get out there, and people are going to know about it. I just don't think that it should be out there.
Well, let's leave the drama and all that marriage stuff. Let TMZ take care of that. Let them take care of that one.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate your time. And I'm the error. I'm not like the old fart in the room here, but I am the old fart to the point. You know, I remember when the Iron Sheik and Hacksaw Jim Duggan got busted on the side of the New Jersey Turnpike with drugs and booze and everything in the car, and it was just like, wait a minute, they hate each other's guts. They're feuding. What are they doing? Mom, Dad, what the hell? Now it's just like, because of the way McMahon had set up the WWE, and he got embraced when Russo was there with the Attitude Era, and the blinds are blurred, there's shades of gray. You're almost kind of sitting there. Someone made the comment to me on one of the message boards are frequent, including OWW Genesis, you can check out. Cheap plug, I admit it. They said, you know, you're kind of sitting there in the corner going, storyline! It's like, you know, that Kurt coming out and saying, I'm engaged to so-and-so. I don't know the girl's name, and we're not going to bring her name into this because she's not apparently in the wrestling business. You're kind of almost sitting there as Kurt going, well, you know what? You can marry. I'm going to go get married. You, lady, you want to marry me? Come on over here. I mean, does this kind of reek of a storyline, fans? 888-357-9876, option 2. Do like our caller just did. Get your voice out there. We're a free, open forum here. You can talk it up. We're not going to censor you and go, you're a dumbass. We're never going to say that unless maybe you are a dumbass, but who knows? I mean, there's plenty of dumbasses on other shows that call in. I'm not bashing other shows, but I mean, this is a topic that really bothered me, and I'm a round wrestler. I mean, I'll openly admit, I was at the Ale House a couple years ago when I was covering TNA. I'm sorry to bore people with a story. I was doing an interview with the Naturals, Andy Douglas, Chase Stevens, Jerry Jarrett sitting at the table with us too. It was a weekend that Lex Luger was brought in to do some stuff with Sting, and Luger made the bus ridiculously late going from the Doubletree to Universal, so he was written out of the show completely. doing an interview with the Naturals, and in comes Jeff Jarrett, and he's hiding. I'm going, what the hell is Jeff doing? And next thing I know, Jarrett slides me a piece of paper and says, Luger's on his way. I'm like, oh, God. Luger comes walking in, and he's pilled out of his mind. Totally bummed. And he's one, and he looked like Lurch from the Addams Family walking in the room. And Jeff is hiding, and Jerry tried to intercept it. And one thing led to another, and I'm still doing the interview with the Naturals, just not looking. And I did the interview, finished the interview, went over to Jeff and Jerry's. Thank you very much for letting me do the interview with the boys. And by the way, whatever I saw here, I never saw. And they go, no, you print it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I can't do that. I would destroy Lex Luger. So Lex Luger's destroying himself, dude. You need to do it. And that was like a question of ethics. I'm being told by the owners of the company, you need to go, you need to do this. And if you're in that position, what do you do? It's a hard situation as a journalist. I mean, I'm not really a journalist in certain people's eyes, but, I mean, you had mentioned a couple weeks ago to Johnny Devine that you were interested in being in the business, Aaron. As someone who wants to be in the ring, you obviously got to watch your back and be careful about who you talk to, but... And it's an interesting situation as someone who, you know, is very close to a lot of these wrestlers. You just kind of got to sit there and go, who cares? Like I said, it's a who cares situation, but it makes for great radio and it sells magazines, and internet sites like TMZ wouldn't be in existence if you didn't have people ratting other people out and talking about this stuff.
Well, I mean, that's exactly the thing. They're making a profit out of everybody else's careers and their lives. And I just, you know, if I was in the business, then I wouldn't want all my personal information to get out on TMZ and Access Hollywood, if you can get what I'm saying.
Absolutely, I get what you're saying. And also, I mean, it's another situation, and Tim can attest to it because of him being in Calgary with the territorial days of Stampede Wrestling, like when we talked about it with Johnny Devine, and you can... archive us through the clickwrestle.com site, and you can hear that interview and other ones like it. You know, you kind of had interaction with the fans back in the day, but you didn't have what you have now, which is us sitting here and talking about this match, that match, every other match, and forums and camera phones and Skype and Twitter and all this and that. It goes, like, take a public example. Look at Tiger Woods. The guy crashed his car. That's all the guy did was crash his car. And the next thing you know, he's America's Most Wanted, along with Jesse James and every other moron out there. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way you can join us here on WWE Radio. We're going to take a quick break, if that's all right with all of you. And we're going to come back with the most awesome segment of the evening. It is Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick. This is OWW Radio, and Aaron will be back with us in a moment.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Pharaoh Foul, even a e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars, clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh my God.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tests very high on the strokeability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes, Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
Not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created below.
Train of thought already. That was like awesomeness, man. Oh wow. What are we doing, man? That was like so beautiful. Sorry, I know Cheech and Chong with. Yeah, I know where you can get some great mushrooms, man. And that was Led Zeppelin, man. I'm amazed. Eric picked that. I'm sitting there going like, Eric picked Led Zeppelin. Wow. He gets a respect card. That's totally awesome. We're going to go into the number one segment of this action comedy with a wrestling theme event. It's the highest rated because it's Aaron Kendrick with Match of the Week, man.
OWW Radio.
All right. If you have now, any questions
bring,
or comments.
Bring your vintageness here. Bring the vintageness.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. If you got any questions or comments, then send them in to radio.onlineworldwrestling.com or in a speaker. Alright, I'm going to get right into it and go into TNA Impact from last week. We got Rob Van Dam and James Storm. Now, Alan, this one is to set up, as I talked about earlier, is to set up Lethal Lockdown, and it really impressed me. And in my view, TNA made a great move by doing the setup to Lockdown because everything clicked. They had fast-paced action, lots of crowd participation, and a great split leg moonsault for the finish. Post match, now James Storm bashes the beer bottle over the head of RVD, and that begins more chaos, and it all adds to the psychology. Now, another thing I noticed in this match was a thing that I've noticed over the years watching wrestling. Opposites attract, Alan. Now,
really?
What I mean right there is take a Rob Van Dam, who is basically your Cheech and Chong of wrestling.
Awesome.
And take a James Storm, who is basically your John Wayne of wrestling. Now, if you can imagine, you know, a movie with Cheech and Chong and John Wayne, it would be a great movie, wouldn't it?
I definitely think you're going pretty great there, man. Sorry, I can't get out the Led Zeppelin thing out of my head, man. I'm just going like 15-year-old kid pulled out Led Zeppelin. Wow. I'm sorry. Okay, you're good with Rob, Dan, damn, Tennessee Cowboy James Storm. Go ahead, man. I'm muting myself for a second because I'm going to have the giggle fest, so go ahead.
All right. While you're laughing, getting the lead out, we're going to go on down to Christian and Ted DiBiase from Raw last week. Now, the Million Dollar Championship. This is something that I've been waiting on ever since I saw Ted DiBiase come on in to the WWE. I've been waiting for them to do something along the lines of Ted and his dad, and it makes nothing but sense to me to do it now, because now Ted Jr. is established, and now we're looking at the possibility of bringing his brother Brett in along with Joe Henning. And to me, putting that million-dollar belt on Ted DiBiase is going to skyrocket him. And, you know, could this be the real DiBiase push? I mean, could this lead to a championship reign? Because his dad never got one. And a lot of people say that Ted DiBiase Sr. is the greatest wrestler to have never gotten a world title. So a lot of people, I'm sure, are looking forward to seeing this. I know I am. Now, another thing I noticed about the match was that they were all over the place in this thing. You know, Christian was jumping off ropes and flying to the outside, and DiBiase was hitting his moves, and Christian was flipping around in the ropes, and they were just all over the place, and it was, I envy the commentators for being able to call it a match like that, because it's got to be tough on them. And DiBiase ends the match with Dream Street, and like I said, could this be the push? Moving on down now, Jack Swagger had the biggest night of his career last week, by winning the world title. Over the past week, Swagger has been adjusting like a champ. He's wearing the suits, getting married, and he's still ignoring his speech impediment.
Hey, now, hey, watch out now.
Hey, did you catch the promo that Morrison caught on him making fun of a speech impediment?
Hey, it baited him into getting the paper cut in his head, man.
Yeah, the paper cut. I like that. Now, besides the paper cut, I guess that's what we're going to call it, there were some pretty good spots in the match. And, you know, just at post-match, Swagger cut a couple of pretty good little segments, you know, with Jericho and Edge. But to me, the whole cluster involving the blood just really ruined the match. So I got to count off of that. But Morrison, got to give him credit. He had a good showing, and that's one reason why I'm saying he should be world champion. All right, now here comes the one. Every week we always have one that almost takes it, and this one is the Ladder War from last week. I guess they're going to steal that term from Ring of Honor. Alan, did you catch the ladder match with Kurt Angle and Anderson?
Yeah. Yep, it was entertaining. It was very entertaining. For what purpose, I have no idea why I have that match on Impact. But then again, they're giving every pay-per-view match away. Why not give that one away, too?
They did this a few years ago with Christian and Rhino. They had a cage match, and one of the people got the key, and that all added up in the end. And This one was, I gotta say, this one was better than Christian and Rhino, because, you know, it's a great rivalry, I think. And they are really doing a good job by capitalizing on Kurt Angle's American gimmick and what he's been doing with the troops for the past several years. And for Anderson to come out and insult that It's like, I can't believe you just did that. So that all adds up. And on that note, we're going to close the show. And I'm going to finish off Match of the Week on a column. I'm going to make a special column tomorrow, people. So if you want to catch Match of the Week, then you got to click on over to wildtalkradio.com. And Alan, on that note, we want to give a special thanks to Corey Chavis, John Davis, excuse me, and Beto DiNucci for all calling in and being a part of the show.
Absolutely.
And it's special thanks to our producers, Corey Morrow and Scott and Nick Anthony, who couldn't be here with us. Nick, we hope you won your game. And that's Alan Wojcik. I'm Aaron Kendrick. And for all of our affiliates, this is OWW Radio. We're out.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.